going to discuss tonight without our source sheets. I figured we'll. I was thinking about doing this anyway, but I was working today on the topic that I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I was working on the topic that I've been discussing at Shalashudis for the past couple of weeks. So for you, it's totally new, and I don't remember if you were at Shalashudis. Okay, so I've discussed over the past couple of weeks a Shaila that I first thought was somewhat of a joke when someone emailed the Shaila to me. But the more I looked into it, the more I realized that it's at least a geshmak shaila, at least it's an enjoyable sugya to look into. And then the more I look into it, the more I realize that it could be a real serious issue, a real serious problem on a daraisa level. The shaila that someone emailed to me was actually a link to an article that explained, in the aftermath of the tragedy in India, of the massacre in India. So obviously there were a lot of articles that were going around the internet, many personal in nature, just people talking about the Holzbergs, or people talking about some of the other victims, and some of them just informing people about what this place was and what was going on there. And because the name of the city was a name that I know, I had never, business travelers heard of it, but I had never heard of the name of the city. I knew of Bombay, right, I know Bombay, India. I never heard of this new city that I had never heard of. So someone sent me a link to an article that from Slate.com, and it was July 12, 2006, the article was written. So it's just sort of like a question-answer column where people just ask, you know, ever wonder why type of questions, and they find the answers, I guess like an Ask Jeeves type of thing or something like that, where they just find the answers and they give the answers. And the article said that officially in 1995, the right-wing Hindu Nationalist Party won the elections in the state of Maharashtra and presided over a coalition that took control of the state assembly. After the election, the party announced that the port city had been renamed after the Hindu goddess, and it says the name of a Hindu goddess, Mumba something, the city's patron deity. Meaning apparently this city had this goddess that was the goddess of that city, that, and there's even a church to that goddess, in a temple, not a church, a temple to that goddess in that city, and federal agencies, local businesses, and newspapers were ordered to adopt a change. Bombay was a corrupted English version of what the real name was, and was an unwanted legacy of British colonial rule. So Bombay, India, was actually a corrupted version of the real name, but the real name was the name of this Hindu goddess. And therefore, when the more religious party took control, they said, you know what, we're not going to allow the name of our city to be bastardized like that. We're going to change it back to its real name. And the real name is the name of this Getchka, this Avodah Zarah, which is mamish an Avodah Zarah. It's an actual statue that exists today in this temple, in that city, that's supposedly this goddess protects the whole city, and they named the city after this goddess. So someone had forwarded me the link to that article with a simple shaila. Are you allowed to say the name of this city? Are you allowed to say the name of the city where this tragedy occurred? Are we allowed to even say its name? So what's the issue? Why wouldn't you be allowed to say its name? And the truth is, someone else had, after I raised the question, someone else in the shul told me that he had read somewhere that in fact Rav Gavriel Holzberg wouldn't say the name of the city. And he sent me the link to an article. It was from a Lubavitch website. Sometimes I don't know all the different websites. I forgot which one. But one of the Lubavitch websites where apparently a close family friend of the Holzbergs wrote a long article. I printed it out. It was like 10 pages about all his experiences with them and what kind of people they were. Very, very beautiful article. And almost as an aside, he just throws in and he writes, the writer's name is Dr. Isaac Bolbin, B-O-L-B-I-N, and he writes, Reb Gavril used to call it Mambay because he feared that the eponym, that the real name, is the name of a Hindu Getchka and therefore forbidden to be uttered. So Reb Gavril would not say Mum, he would say Mam, right? Mambay. And that's what he would refer to the city. That was Rabbi Holzer's minhag, apparently. So I was a little skeptical at first. Well, first of all, someone else in the shul came over to me and said, it's not true. It's pashut a lie. He didn't refer to it. We know the family. He never referred to it that way. Someone else told me that in the Lubavitcher video, I was there when they showed the video of, to commemorate what happened. And I just didn't chap. I wasn't at the time. I wasn't thinking along these lines. You know, I was just thinking about appreciating the magnitude of the loss. So I wasn't really chapping. But apparently, someone told me that in the video, they also didn't say the name of the city. They said India. They said they said Bombay. But they didn't say the name of the city. Apparently, again, I would have to go back to the video and find out. But what I do know is, I mentioned this past Shabbos, I went on YouTube, and you type in Rabbi Holzberg on YouTube, and you can find a video of Rabbi Holzberg talking, 2-minute video of Rabbi Holzberg talking about his experience in India, and he very clearly does not say Mumbai. He very clearly says Mum, right? He very clearly starts with, says the he has a bit of an Israeli accent or some sort of mixture of of accents, so he may not say exactly the way they pronounce it in India, but he clearly does not go out of his way to say Mumbai. So I don't know what his minhag was, but as I mentioned on Shabbos, whatever his minhag was, that's irrelevant to our shaila, meaning a great tzaddik he was, and how he was makariv people from all walks of life, and how he was moser nefesh to an unbelievable extent. That there's no shaila about. But the posek hador, he wasn't, right? So we don't necessarily, just because he paskined one way or the other, that doesn't necessarily answer the shaila for us. So again, the shaila is, can you call the city by the name? So what's the issue? So yeah. Ah, so there's a pasuk. It's a beferish pasuk in Chumash. So the pasuk is in Sefer Shmos, Parachav Gimel, pasuk Yud Gimel, and I'll read you the pasuk. Pasuk says, I have it right here. Pasuk says, "V'chol asher amarti aleichem tisha meru, v'shem Elohim acherim lo sazkiru." Don't mention the names of Elohim acherim, of other gods, lo yishama al picha, and the names of other gods shouldn't be heard through your mouth. So the Gemara, it sounds repetitive, right? It says, don't mention the names of other gods, and lo yishama al picha, shouldn't be heard through your mouth. So there's a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin of Samach Gimel and Beis, which expounds on this pasuk and explains exactly what's going on. The Gemara says, Hanodir b'shmo v'amakayim b'shmo reza b'losa say. So the Gemara says, D'tanya, we have a brisa. V'shem Elohim acherim lo saskiru, shelo yomar adam l'chavero, shemor li b'tzad avodah zara plonis. A person should never say to his friend, you know, watch out for me, I'll be at next to such and such an Avodah Zarah, next to the Hindu temple of whatever, right? A person shouldn't say that, because then they're going to have to say the name of the Avodah Zarah. And that's a violation. And Isser Da'oraisa sounds like, of Shem Elohim Acherim, Lo Saskiru. Pasuk says, the Gemara goes weiter and says, but wait a second, the Pasuk then says, lo yishama al picha, what does that mean? Shelo yodur bishmo, velo yikayim bishmo, velo yigrom la'achirim sheyidro bishmo v'yikayimu bishmo. Lo yishama al picha means, even if you don't mention it, if the name gets mentioned because of something that you did, or that you said, that too is a violation of midaraisa, which is an unbelievable extension of this halacha. I mean, it's from the pasuk, but the extension goes that if I am doing a business deal with someone who's novid avodah zara, and I want him to swear to me that he's telling the truth or that he didn't steal money from me, so who's he going to swear by the name of his God? He swears by the name of his God, I violated an issa daraisa, because I caused attention to be paid to his God. I caused the name of his God to be mentioned. That's what the Gemara goes on to say. Lo yigrom la'achirim sheyidru b'shmo. You shouldn't cause other people to take a neder in the name of their gods. And the Gemara says, and this is like Shmuel says, Avuad Shmuel says, that asr la'adam sheyasa shutfus menachri, that you're not even allowed to do a partnership with a guy. Shemi yischayiv lo Shmuel, lest you be chayiv, he be chayiv you a shvua, v'nishpa b'avodah zara shelo, and he's going to swear by his avodah zara. V'atorah omra, lo yisham al picha, and the Torah says, no, though you can't allow the name of an avodah zara to be mentioned by something that you do. The Gemara then goes on saying, this is important for this topic tonight. The Gemara goes on to say, kiyasu ula bas b'kalnavo. Says mentions the name of a place, Kalnavo. So Amar le Rava v'hecha Basmar, where is it? Amar le b'Kalnavo, where it's in, meaning where is the Basmar, where is your daughter? So he says in Kalnavo, in this place called Kalnavo. So he says, wait a second, v'aksiv v'shem Elohim acherim lo saskiru. I thought you're not allowed to say the names of Avodah Zarahs. This city, Kalnavo, was named after an Avodah Zarah. Amalei, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's an exception. What's the exception? Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol Avodah Zarah, Ksuva B'Torah, Mutar Lahazkir Shema. If an Avodah Zarah is written into the Torah, so the name of the Avodah Zarah is in the Torah, Asherah, something like that, it's written in the Torah, then you're allowed to say the name of that Avodah Zarah. So he says, okay, I challenge you. Find me Kalnavo in the Torah. Next one, Hechaksiva, where is it? So he says, Zechsiv, it's not in the Torah, but it's in Navi, Tanakh, it's in Yeshayo, Perek Menvav, Kra Kras Navo, and so that's close enough, and that's the reference to Kalnavo. So we see that even the name of what emerges from the Gemara is you're not allowed to say the name of Avodah Zarah, but even the name of a city that's named after an Avodah Zarah to glorify the Avodah Zarah, you're also not allowed to say. So that's the problem. Right? The problem is it seems like a very clear Issa D'oraisa to say the name of the city. Now the problem, though, would extend, and this we pointed out already on Shabbos, the problem would extend much further than just this one city in India. First of all, it would probably be half the cities in India, but it would also be many other cities in the world. It would also include probably all the cities in Greece, or half the cities in Greece. It would include, as we mentioned, mentioning the names of the first 6 months in the Gregorian calendar, January, February, March, April, May, June. They're all named after Avodah Zarahs. From July and on, it's not. July is Julius Caesar, August is Augustus Caesar. They name 2 months in the summer after themselves because they like the summertime, and that's why they're the longest months, because they wanted nice long months. They were very humble people. And then September, October, November, December are just numerical. Right? Sep is 7, because before July and August came in, September was the 7th, right before Julius and Augustus Caesar messed everything up. So Sep was the 7th, Oct is 8, November is 9, Dec is 10, right? So that's that. It was just numbers. But all the stuff before that, right, all the 6 months before that are Kimat Kulam, they're all after Avodah Zarah. Days of the week would be a problem. Tuesday is very clearly named after Avodah Zarah. Google Tuesday, go Wikipedia Tuesday and see what comes up. It's very clearly after Avodah Zarah. So we would have big problems, meaning if we just take this at face value, that you just can't say the name of any Avodah Zarah that's named after anything, or anything that's named after Avodah Zarah, rather, we'd have big problems. We wouldn't be able to say anything. We wouldn't be able to, right? We certainly wouldn't be able to function within normal society. Someone else pointed out in Shul that you wouldn't be able to say something like Satmar, because Satmar, apparently legend has it, is really Saint Mary. It's Santa Mara, which really is Saint Mary. So I looked that up. So it is well known that there is such a misconception. Let's put it that way. It's well known that there is such a misconception that that's what Satmar is. So much so that the Rebbe Rabbi Yoelish, right, Rabbi Yoelish Teitelbaum, Zichron Levracha, the Satmar Rebbe, apparently used to say Sakmar. He used to sometimes say, I don't know if he always did, but he sometimes said Sakmar with a K sound instead of a T sound, just to change the name a little bit, because he was concerned for this issue. I spoke to a Jew who's a few years older than me today, whose whole family comes from Satmar, and he told me that the whole mishpacha called it Sakmar. That was the minute. Everyone called it Sakmar. That's what they always called it. He never knew why. He never understood it. But apparently that's why, because they had this misconception. So it's not really true, but at least they had this misconception. Rav Menashe Klein writes in his Tshuvas, in the Mishnah Halachos, in the 9th volume of his Tshuvas, that the city of Sanz is also the Sanzers. So he says, what is it? Is it Sanz or is it Sanz? So he says, one is a shame of Avodah Zarah, so the Jews changed it to the other. I forget which way it goes. I think the Jews changed it to Tzanz, I don't remember. But one is a shame of Avodah Zarah, so the Jews changed it because they didn't want to pronounce it the right way because they were worried about the shame of Avodah Zarah. Now, was that a chumrah, or is that really required to make Radin? If it's required to make Radin, why is it any different than Tuesday, and why is it any different than January, February, March, April, May, June? There's a discussion in the Poskim, which I have an article about on the Shul's website, a discussion in the Poskim, whether you're allowed to date a check. Let's say today is December 16th. Can I date a check today, 12-16, or do I have to write December? Can I call December the 12th month, or even better, in January, can I write 1, or do I have to write January? So some of the poskim say, based on Ramban, Chassam Sofer felt very strongly about this, that you're not allowed to write 1. You have to write the name of the month, if anything, because if you write 1, it's a violation, based on Ramban, of the mitzvah in the Torah that Chodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim, that only Nisan is the first month of the year, and nothing else counts as the first month of the year. So if you indicate something else to be one, to be month number one, that's some sort of violation. So there's a big tumult in the poskim about what should you do? Should you not number the months? Should you be careful to only use the names of the months? So some of the later posts can point out, I think Tzitz Eliezer maybe, or Rav Avadia Yosef, they point out that, I think Tzitz Eliezer says, Shamati, I heard that it could be even worse to use the names of the months, because the names of the months are all after Avodah Zarah. So what are you going to gain? You're going to run away from violating the Yisra of Chodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodashim, and you're going to go violate a worse system by being Maske Shem Avodah Zarah, right? You're going to be saying the name of Avodah Zarah, so that's going to be terrible. So, L'chora, meaning if you really wanted to be Machmir, for the first 6 months of the year, you could write the number, and for the last 6 months of the year, you could write the name, if you wanted to keep all the Chumras. But the question is, is this required? Meaning, it doesn't seem so. It seems that, in Lo Nevi'im Heim, B'nei Nevi'im Heim, that Klal Yisrael has had the minhag, at least, that we don't shy away from saying Tuesday, we don't shy away from saying January, February, right? We do say these things. So what's the heter, if any? So what I spent the last couple of hours today doing was trying to look through the halachic literature to find all the kulas that are out there. Now, just to be 100% clear, Shulchan Aruch Pask, we're not going to be able to take the Gemara that says that you're not allowed to say the name of an Avodah Zarah and somehow invalidate it. It's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Yerodea, Simen Kuf Mem Zayin, Sif Alf, there's no Cholik in the Gemara there, no one disagrees. The Rishonim, there's no Machlokas about it. The only Machlokas about it is the extent to which it goes, meaning, is it when the Gemara gives the example that you're not allowed to say, meet me by this Avodah Zarah, does that mean you're only not allowed to say, meet me by this Avodah Zarah because you're showing chashivas to it, because you could have said, meet me somewhere else, meet me by the fire hydrant that's right next to the Avodah Zarah, instead of using the Avodah Zarah as a landmark, but to just stop mentioning the name of the Avodah Zarah, where you're not showing any serious chashivas to it, maybe it would be mutter, or do we say no, that it's vada going to be aser? So that there's a minor discussion. They're showing, for the most part, the Rishonim don't even really entertain much the possibility, the first possibility. They just assume saying the name of the Avodah Zarah is Asr, whether you need to or you don't need to. And in fact, Shulchan Aruch and Yardeh Asim Kuf Mem Zayin, I'll read you his words, Hanoder O Nishba B'Shem Avodas Kochavim Areza Loka. If you take a neder or a shavua in the name of an Avodah Zarah, you get Malkus. V'Asr Lahaskira B'Shma, and you're not even allowed to say the name of an Avodah Zarah, Bein Letzorach Bein Shalo Letzorach. Whether you need to or whether you don't need to. Meaning whether you're saying it because of some practical reason you have, like meet me by that Avodah Zarah, or just stam, you like to say Asher, Asher, Asher. You just enjoy the word, how the word rolls off your mouth. So you like to say it, but it has nothing, there's no tzarech whatsoever. Either way, it's Aser. Either way, it's Aser to say the name of an Avodah Zarah. Now, Shulchan Aruch does pask in a few Se'ifim later, in Se'if Dalid, that if the name of the Avodah Zarah happens to be an Avodah Zarah that is written in the Torah, that's mutter. He gets that straight from the Gemara, right? The Gemara Sanhedrin right there said it. So that's clear also, that it's mutter to say the name of an Avodah Zarah that's written in the Torah. We'll get into why that's so a little bit later. So what I want to do is just basically go through, I found five either exceptions or justifications for minhagim in various areas to say names of Avodah Zarah, and I want to try to see if we can apply any one of them to our particular example of this city in India whose name clearly is Bombay, the old Bombay, whose name clearly, the new name clearly is after an Avodah Zarah. And perhaps on Shabbos at Shalosh Shudis, I mentioned the name of the city. Perhaps I was a little too loose with my tongue. Maybe I shouldn't have done so. We'll see if there's any heter. We'll try to find if there's any heter we can come up with. And I'm not, just to be 100% clear over here, I'm not suggesting that if I can't find a heter that it doesn't exist. Adraba, I'm trying to challenge everyone else. Please find one and let me know. I've no interest in trying to be machmir about every shaila in the world. So so first possible heter. Comes up in a tshuva. I found it in a tshuva that I mentioned before, that Rav Menashe Klein writes in Mishnah Alachos in Chelek Tes, and the shaila he was asked was from someone who he knew, who was a grandson of the Ger Rebbe, who asked if he's allowed to write a letter to a friend or a relative who lives in somewhere in South America, it was, and they wanted to know the person lives on a street name that's a Christian religious name, whether it was Mary Street or something like that. They want to know, or Yeshu Street, whatever it is, they want to know, can I write on the envelope the name of the street? Am I allowed to write the name? Isn't it being maskir, a Shem Elohim Acherim, a name of another God? So he points out that the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Pei Vav writes that the Isser and the wording of the Isser in the Torah seems to indicate that the only Isser is when you say the word and not when you write the word. That writing would be okay. For instance, because the Minchas Chinuch points out, Pasuk says, Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Sazkiru. It's a lashon of Zechira. So where do we have a mitzvah of Zechira? Right? We have Zechira as Amalek. What does Gemara Megillah say about Zechira as Amalek? The Gemara says, Yachol Bepeh. I might think that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechira as Amalek, you could just think of it. You could just have it in mind, have it in your heart, and that's good enough to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechira as Amalek. Tamalomar lo sishkach. That's why the pasuk says lo sishkach. Tell me what's belave. But to get the mitzvah of Zechira, you need it to be bepeh. It needs to be verbalized. It's not good enough to just think of it. So just like by Zechira Samalek, and Minchas Chinuch says, by any mitzvah of Zechira, it will turn out that you'll need to do it bepeh. Zechira Shabbos, Zachar Shema Shabbos Lekadsho. What do you have to do? You have to be, Rambam writes, you're Mekadei Shabbos Bidvarim. You're Mekadei Shabbos with words alone. Right? That's Rabbi Kiva Eger. We've pointed out in a few occasions in the past, Rabbi Kiva Eger says that maybe even just saying Shabbat Tava, even just saying Good Shabbos, maybe, is a key mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush, because at least it's words. It's fulfilling Zechira Shabbos Bidvarim. Divrei Shevach v'Kiddush of Shabbos. So what do you see? Whenever we have the word Zechira, it always means verbal. It always means with words. Right? So says Minchas Chinuch, or says Rav Menashe Klein, the same would be true about the Isser of Lo Sazkiru. The Isser is not to not think about it, not to not write it. The Isser is not to verbalize it, not to say it. Just like writing Zechiras Amalek, right? Writing about Amalek would not fulfill your chiyuv of Zechiras Amalek. If you write down the name of the Avodah Zarah, so would not be a problem. Now, there are a couple of problems with this kula. The Beis Yitzchak, which is Rav Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelkis, I forget his middle name, but Rav Shmelkis, the Beis Yitzchak, 19th century Posek, writes, I didn't have the sefer, it's not even on the Bar Ilan CD, but there's a great website called HebrewBooks.org, where you just type in the name of any book, and it shows up in its original Surah Sadaf. So I just got a copy of the Tshuva, and he doesn't think that in Yerideya, Chelek Aleph, Sim Kuf Nun Beis, in Beis Yitzchak, he doesn't think that the term Zechira in the context of Avodah Zarah means dafka to verbalize it. Because he says, think about it for a second. Most prohibitions, most isurim, would clearly distinguish between thoughts and actions. Right? I could think about chazer all day. I didn't violate the isur of eating chazer. Right? But only when I take the action, when I eat the chazer, do I violate the isur. But he says, Avodah Zarah is different. By Avodah Zarah, hearer is kedibur. If I think thoughts that there's this, that I believe in this Avodah Zarah, in whatever location, I believe in some Avodah Zarah somewhere, so I have violated the Isra. I don't need to actually do anything to have violated the Isra of Avodah Zarah. By Avodah Zarah, Hirhur takes on a new status, takes on a higher level, and therefore, thoughts are just as viable as words. And since the Isra of mentioning the Avodah Zarah's name is one of it's an Isra of Avodah Zarah, so therefore, Hirhur alone would be a violation of the Isra. Kal v'chomer, writing it would be a violation of the Yisr. And Beis Yitzchak says that the truth is, though, if you think about it, what's the Yisr of thinking of Avodah Zarah? Why is it Asr to think of Avodah Zarah? What's the Yisr? Because you have a mitzvah of Emunah B'Hashem, right? You have a mitzvah to believe in God. So if you think of Avodah Zarah thoughts and your belief system changes, even though it's only in your brain, you violated some Yisr of Avodah Zarah. What if your belief system doesn't change? You just think of a name of an Avodah Zarah. So he says, maybe you could argue that that's not called, that in that context, even though it's an Isser associated with Avodah Zarah, you wouldn't say the hearer is like speaking. Because I'm just thinking of the name, I'm not actually thinking of worshipping, of accepting the authority of whatever deity it is. Only when you intend to think of, I'm thinking of the name of a city, the name of a street, so it doesn't seem that the Isser would apply. Furthermore, writing may be different than thinking, though, right? Meaning, even if you say that hirhur doesn't count, maybe writing does count. By zechiras hamalek, obviously, you have to be done. It has to be done verbally, and you can't do it through writing. But writing by certain mitzvos may count. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason for the iser, right, the reason for the iser of lo saskiru, that you're not allowed to mention the names of Elohim Acherim, of other gods, is because you don't want to give it credence or any real foothold in this world. So what gives it a stronger foothold? When I say the name of an Avodah Zarah and it takes a millisecond to say it and then it's gone, my words disappear except into this little machine, right? My words, for the most part, they're gone. Or when I write it down, there's a record remaining. So if the whole time for the Yisr is that we don't want to give any credence, any makom for the Avodah Zarah, l'chor writing should be worse than even saying the Avodah Zarah, let alone thinking it. So this kula that the Beis Yitzchak, that Rav Menashe Klein has, that hirhur is different than dibur, and hirhur is not a problem, and ksiva is not a problem, only dibur is a problem, is somewhat questionable. Right? One could certainly argue that it's questionable. Now, does this help us in our case? It helps us if you're a journalist, right? If you're writing about the event and you're writing the name of the city, so fine. If you want to rely on this kula, so maybe you have what to rely on with this kula to write the name of the city. And even that is somewhat questionable. But it doesn't help us, obviously, in terms of saying anything. And obviously, this kula isn't going to help us for Tuesday, for January, it's not going to help us for any of the other Avodah Zarahs either. It's not going to help us for Athens. It's not going to help us for anything. So this kula is not really the greatest kula to use. So what's kula number two? The Darkei Tshuva on Yoredeya, on that Sif in Shulchan Aruch, quotes the Beis Yitzchak, also the same Beis Yitzchak. Beis Yitzchak deals with the following case. There was a Bikur Cholim society in whatever town it was that had a Greek name, and he goes through what the Greek name is, something Gamma. There was a real Greek name to the Bikur Cholim society. Why did it have a Greek name? It was a Jewish Bikur Cholim society. Why did it have a Greek name? Because apparently there was a Greek term, and I'm not familiar with the term, but there was a Greek term that took on the meaning of just health, of good health. And it was like a gesundheit, labriot. It just meant good health. Now, it happens to have been named after the god of health, because the Greeks were very big in assigning a god to everything, right? So it happened to have been named after the god of health, but colloquially, it was just used to mean gesundheit. It was used to mean, you know, that everything should be in good health. So the Shiloh was asked to the Beis Yitzchak, are they allowed to keep that name for their Bikur Cholim society? So the questioner, the Shoel, in that Shiloh argued that since the Greek word really meant health, and the Greeks who believed in a god of each midah and each power later said, okay, that's the word that means health. Okay, so it's the god. So that word will also refer to the god of health. But really, initially, the word just meant good health. So it could be that it's permissible. Maybe the use of the Avodah Zarah's name is only usher when the word was initially meant to be the name of an Avodah Zarah. But when there's a word that exists, and then you just happen to take that word and also attach it to an Avodah Zarah, it could be that it doesn't passel the word. That's what the Shoel wanted to say. That's the kula that the Shoel wanted to say. Beis Yitzchak happens to be rejects that kula anyway. He says it doesn't matter where the origin is. If it's the name of an Avodah Zarah, I don't care if it was something else before. If it's the name of an Avodah Zarah, nothing to talk about. It's absolutely usher. He doesn't like it. Now, would this help us? Let's say we did like this kula, and we thought if it was named after something else first, it would be okay. So even if we would be inclined to accept this kula, it would seem to be inapplicable over here, because the name of the Avodah Zarah happens to be a combination of a couple of different words, but put together, I don't believe, based on whatever minimal research I was able to do, I don't believe the name of this particular Avodah Zarah was combined in that way to refer to anything else in the past. Meaning it was a combination of multiple words, and I don't think that combination of words ever existed for any other name. So it seems that would not help us for this. Now, one would have to look into each issue, each shaila, in terms of the names of the months and the names. You'd have to look into each shaila individually and to do all the research to see if this kula would apply over there as well. So, long story short, it doesn't look like this is going to be our big kula. not for the Greek gods, not for the Greek cities, not for the names of the months, not for the Indian cities. It doesn't seem like this is going to be our big kula. So we move on. Kula number three. Again, the Beis Yitzchak, the same tshuva. He writes that at the end of the tshuva, after he goes off on this idea that I don't care that it was used for something else, if it's the name of an avodah zarah, you can't use it. And he then tells them, you know, you don't have to burn all your stationery, but you certainly do have to sit there crossing out the name on the top of the stationery, meaning you can't have that name exist on your records. He then says, but you know, someone asked me the term mammon. That's used in the Gemara. Mammon means money, right? In the Gemara, he said the term mammon used in the Gemara is actually the name of a deity that was the god of money. I don't know in what religion or where, but it was the name of a deity that was the god of money. So I assume Greeks or whatever, but it was the name of some sort of avodah zarah. That's where the name mammon came from. Mammon is not a Jewish term. So and the Gemara apparently had no problem using it, even though it had obviously very questionable sources. So the Beis Yitzchak says, now that's different, because the word mammon is never used in connection with the deity at all anymore. No one ever associates mammon with the deity. You only associate mammon with money, and that's okay. Once it loses any connection it has to the avodah zarah, and the only connection is people don't even think, who thinks of that mammon god of whatever? No one even thinks of that anymore. No one even associates it anymore. There's no one in the world that even puts the two together. So therefore, it's going to be okay. Now, this is our first real kula, right? Because when you hear of the month of April, you don't think of the god of spring. You think of spring, right? You don't think of spring training. You think of, right? You don't think of the god of spring. Right, so since when you hear that, it seems that for many of your Tuesday, you don't think of, I forget what the god was, but the god of Tuesdays, I don't know. But you don't think of the whatever it is that god is. The name has pretty much been taken away from the avodah zarah and applied solely and exclusively to whatever it's commonly used for. So that would seem to help us for January, February, March, April, May, June. It would help us for the days of the week. It would help us for a lot of, perhaps, well, maybe Greek cities, maybe not, probably not. What about for our Shaila, the Indian city? Not a chance. Not a chance. That's exactly why it was a decade ago that they changed the name to name it after the Avodah Zarah. The temple to that Avodah Zarah exists in the city to this day with the Avodah Zarah in it with that name. You ask anyone in the street, any guy in the street in the city, where does your city get its name? They'll tell you exactly. Look over there, that temple. That's where we get the name. The whole city is named after that Ketchka. There's no Shaila. And it's not like a distant association. It very clearly still has this attachment to that of Avodah Zarah. So it would seem that this kula, which is probably the kula for most of what we do, doesn't seem to work for this particular case. So we have to move on to another kula. Kula number four. The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin that we mentioned before says that you're as we said before, any Avodah Zarah mentioned in the Torah, you're allowed to say the name of the Avodah Zarah. Right? That's what we said before. Why? Well, it sort of has to be because we can't make it usher to learn Torah, to read words in the Torah. We can't say, you're not allowed to read these words in the Torah, create the Torah, just skip those words. So it sort of has to be that way. But why? What's different about these words? Is it just because it has to be, and therefore, and whatever, if the Torah could have mentioned anything, and it would have been mutter? Or is there something about these avodah zarahs that are mentioned in the Torah that, by definition, they become okay, or they are okay? There was something about them that the Torah knew, that Hashem knew, that by the time we're reading it, it's all going to be good, and we're going to be able to say these names. So Urayim writes the following. One of the Rishonim, that the deities mentioned in the Torah have already been batel. And that's why we're allowed to say them. Because none of them are still in existence. Which is a huge kula. Meaning he's now assuming that it's not just a din, like Shulchan Aruch makes it sound, any avodah zarah mentioned in the Torah is okay. Which we said before, maybe it's just because you have to be able to learn Torah. No, that's not it. It's any avodah zarah that's batel is okay, and it happens to be that all of the avodah zarahs mentioned in the Torah are batel, and that's why you're allowed to mention them. The fact that it's mentioned in the Torah is not the matir. The matir is the fact that they've been batel, that they no longer exist. So that's the kula. Problem with this kula is, first of all, the Chavos Yair has a tshuva, Siman Aleph in Chavos Yair. I didn't take a careful look who the tshuva was written to or about, but apparently someone attacked the Chavos Yair for something he wrote. And apparently in one of his letters or in one of his svarim, he mentioned the word Mary, apparently in one of them. And someone, ripped into him and said, accused him of Avodah Zarah, and how can you mention the name? Don't you know, Los Haskiru, you're not allowed to mention the name? And he was extremely offended. The way he writes, he seemed extremely offended. I think the guy he was writing to, if I recall correctly, was dead. The person who had ripped in, by the time he wrote back the tshuva, the guy had died already. He said, I thought about not writing back because you're dead and, you can't really respond to me, but I'm just so angry. He says, to accuse me of, and Avera here, you're accusing me of Avodah Zarah. It's the Chavos Yair. You're accusing me of Avodah Zarah. He wasn't happy about it. So he has this long tshuva explaining why he thinks it's okay to say Mary. Right, that's why that's okay. Now he writes at the very beginning, it's a non-starter because it's not an Avodah Zarah anyway. Right, Mary, the mother of Yeshu, is not an Avodah Zarah as it is, so it doesn't really make a difference. It's not even an issue. But even Lishitascha, that you tie it's an Avodah Zarah, still it's not a problem for reasons X, Y, and Z. But anyway, the Chavos Yair writes there that the theory of the Yireim simply is not true. Meaning the Navi refers to the deity Baal Nevo. And that Avodah Zarah clearly existed in the times of the Gemara. I mean, that seems to be clear in the sugya itself. So it can't be that we're going to say the Navi, anything that's referred to in Tanakh is okay, which the Gemara clearly said, having a pasuk in Yeshayah is good enough, when we know that there are Avodah Zarahs that are referred to in Tanakh, that they may not be around now, but they were certainly around in the times that they were talking about in Chazal. So if the Avodah Zarah was still around, it should have been Aser, even though it was mentioned in the Torah. So he says he just doesn't think that that's true, that the Yireim's approach is true. The Beis Yitzchak also rejects this because he writes that you can never be sure if the Avodah Zarah is totally nullified, if it's really completely batel. There might be some tribe somewhere in Africa or whatever that still worships this Avodah Zarah, so you can never be sure. Even though he says he was sure about Mammon. Mammon he was sure about. That he knew, because we knew where its origin was, and he knew that it just wasn't used anymore. But he says by other Avodah Zarahs, you never know. You never know what... So you can't just say anything that's been batel and just rely on the fact that an Avodah Zarah has been batel. Now, let's say you did rely on this kula, so that would help us for a lot of things. It would help us, if you hold any Avodah Zarah that's been batel, is okay, so all the cities in Greece are okay again, pretty much, I think, right? Anyone still worship those Avodah Zarahs? Right. Okay. No, again, according to the Beis Yitzchak, they have to be choshish. Maybe there's some clan of people somewhere. Right? There are always mishugam in the world. Shneur Leinman once said, there are still people who meet every year in Washington who are Shabtai Tzvi followers. The guy died centuries ago. There are three Mishadayim who get together every year and have a meeting of the Shabtai Tzvi following. They're still waiting for him to come back. Right? Is there any crazier than Chabad? I don't know. But they're still waiting for him to come back. So that's the okay. So you have Mishadayim. So it wouldn't be crazy. I've heard of crazier things than having Mishadayim out there that are like this. But anyway, but this would help us. If you rely on this kula, if you don't know like the basis, can you say, I'm pretty confident it's batel, that would help us for everything, but it won't help us for this, right? It won't help us for a city in India. Why? Because it's not batel. There's a temple standing there. There's Navala Getchka in the temple, right? The goddess herself still stands in the temple, orange-faced goddess described on an altar strewn with things all over it, right? There is this, it's there. There is this Avodah Zarah there. You can go online, find out about it, and you could read all about it. It's a very clear Avodah Zarah that exists. So it's far from batel. It's far from batel. So that heter does not seem to work either. The final heter that I found was also in Sefer Yireim. The Yireim suggests that there's another possible distinction between the Avodah Zarahs that are mentioned in the Torah and the Avodah Zarahs that are mentioned that are not mentioned in the Torah, why we're allowed to say the ones that are mentioned in the Torah, he says, because the Isser is not to say the name of an Avodah Zarah. If there was an Avodah Zarah named Bob, you're allowed to say Bob, right? It's not the Isser of saying the name that just identifies the Avodah Zarah. He says the Isser is, and the Raya that some of the posts can quote, is from the Lashon of the Pasuk, Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Saskiru, means it's not just the name of Elohim Acherim, it's Shem Elohim a godly name, right? A name that attributes godliness to other gods, right? That's what you're not allowed to say. If the name of the Avodah Zarah represents something, is not just a label for the Avodah Zarah, but it represents, again, just Lamashal. If the Avodah Zarah was called Bob, right, that would be mutter to say Bob. If the Avodah Zarah was called Bob, King of Builders, right, whatever the Avodah Zarah, right, something like that, where it ascribes some greatness to him, that would be Usser, because that's ascribing some power, some godliness to the Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Hei, Amud Beis, going up to Mem Vav, Amud Aleph, that we're supposed to call an Avodah Zarah, it's a mitzvah to call an Avodah Zarah by a derisive and a mocking name. And the Medrash Toras Kohanim in Parshas Kedoshim, Osir Aleph, says that the term Asherah, right, that we have in the Torah, and probably not just Asherah, all the others also, are actually derisive nicknames for those Avodah Zarahs. They're not the actual names of the Avodah Zarahs. Asherah is, the Medrash says, Shemesach Shemei Acherim, that here is this Asherah, it's supposed to be this god, yet if you don't water it and get it enough sunlight, and it's going to die, right? It's because it's a tree. So it needs others to sustain it, which obviously is a big busha to an Avodah Zarah. So that's what we try to emphasize every time we say the name of the Avodah Zarah. We mock it, we make fun of it. So that's why you corrupt the name, you dafka, corrupt the name and mock it, that's a great thing to do. But on the flip side, the only time you have a real iser is when you say a name of an Avodah Zarah that ascribes some sort of greatness to that Avodah Zarah. In fact, that's what the Chavos Yair says. A lot of the names in the Gemara that the Gemara has for Avodah Zarahs are also very often mocking names of the Avodah Zarahs, and because after all, the Gemara was meant to be read, right? So the Gemara doesn't want you reading, right? When they wrote down the Gemara, they didn't want you saying these words that you're not allowed to say, so they use these derisive mocking names for the Avodah Zarah. So would that help us? Meaning, again, it doesn't need to be a mocking name, it just is not allowed to be, according to the Urim, a name that ascribes greatness. Any name that's just, I have to be called Aryeh, someone else has to be called David, there has to be just names that are just to identify people. So fine, that's okay for an Avodah Zarah, but a name that ascribes greatness is going to be a problem. So would that help us? So the truth is, for most of the situations, the months of the year and the days of the week, I don't really know. You'd have to really look into each one and see the origin of the name. For this city in India, I did look into it a little bit. The name is a combination of two words that roughly translates to Great Mother, which apparently is a big problem, right? Because that's obviously a name that's meant to connote power, love, you know, care, that whatever it's trying, that protection, and that's their tradition, that you go and you pray to this this Ketchka, and she takes care of whatever you need. You don't get turned away empty-handed like a mother that you don't get turned away from. So that's what the name means. So that heter doesn't seem to work either. So there might be more heterim out there. I don't know what they are. Again, I invite you to please find out. I haven't spoken to anyone big about this yet. Meaning, I've mentioned to a couple of chaverim, but I haven't, nothing against my chaverim, but I haven't spoken to Rav Shechter, Rav Willig, or any of the bigger poskim about this to get a better idea. I haven't necessarily come to a definitive conclusion, but based on the evidence I have so far, it seems to me that to say the name of that city should be Asir.
Why doesn't Kavana of the word shouldn't it play a role?
Meaning what your kavana is when you're saying
it's just words. Meaning
the kavana of the word, the definition of the word. Well, let me ask you.
None of us knew until 3 weeks ago when you told us.
The problem is, though, so that I was thinking about that. No one knew. The thing is, though, that anyone who lived in India knew. Meaning it's not like a big secret. Meaning it's something that's very clearly a name for an Avodah Zarah, and the Avodah Zarah is very clearly named to describe some greatness to the Avodah Zarah. So if that's the case, it would seem that I don't think the fact that we don't know or that we don't intend to ascribe the greatness to the Avodah Zarah, you don't find that heter anywhere. You don't find anywhere that they were saying names of a city. The Gemara says to say the name of a city that was named after an Avodah Zarah. You think the Amoraim were saying the name of a city because they wanted to ascribe greatness to the Avodah Zarah? No, they wanted to talk about the city. Same way we use it. And the Gemara said it's Asir. The only reason it was Mutter in the case in the Gemara was because it happened to have been an Avodah Zarah that's mentioned in Tanakh. But good luck finding this one in Tanakh. I don't think it's there. So it seems to me that we have at least a Kasha. At least at first I thought it was a cute kasha, now I think it's a really good kasha. And now that I'm a little more educated, I think it's a really good kasha. But again, I leave the floor open to anyone to find me a heter, and I hope to speak to people to find out. I hope they don't laugh in my face. I think it's a real shaila. Really?
I think that's what. That's how you can. I think that's what. I mean, I don't know if I.
But I would think.
I know their stock, so I don't know.
I would think that would be in the again. I would think that would be like the Greek cities, where no one worships it anymore. It's out of use. You can rely on those
that
there.
I mean, they did sneakers because of speed, so they're attributing. I mean, like, right. Really, but
the Nikes. Nike.
Yeah,
I think you could say Nike.
It's fast. That's the reason. I mean, they wouldn't do it because, like, I don't know, it's a tree or something. They're doing it. I'm not being silly.
I understand. That's why they did it. But still, again, if no one in the world associates Nike with an Avodah Zarah anymore.
Right. Well, people do know. They don't associate with Avodah Zarah, but they know the origin. I guess that's where I was coming
again,
from.
Again, so then at least you have the one that the Avodah Zarah is not worshipped anymore.
Right.
Although speed, in some sense, is worshipped. Look at where Michael Phelps is all over the place. Speed is worshipped. But at least that Avodah Zarah of speed is apparently not worshipped.
Right. Okay.
Good. All right.